Hello everybody and welcome to the Across the Stages podcast, brought to you by Absolute Motorsport Radio and also available on Absolute Motorsport TV. I'm James Casey and joining me today will be Joshua Sutil as we talk through the battles, drama and controversy from Rally Portugal. Oit Tanak has made it 2 from 2 and in fine style. He has won in Portugal. Was probably a trickier rally for him than Chile. Definitely a trickier rally actually than Chile. But in the end, he did come out on top from Thierry Neuville. And Sébastien Ogier came in third in the end and retains the championship lead. But Oit Tanak, fine style again, taking victory. And yeah, he's really put himself back in the title race now.
Yeah, definitely. Really, really brilliant stuff to see. You know, to like say 2 wins on the bounce. First time he's got back-to-back wins since we saw those, you know, 3 in a row last year. So, yeah, really good stuff from Tanak and Tota. Very much looking like the favourites. But as you said as well, Ogier is still leading the championship, which is obviously good for Ogier, but also in a way it's quite good for Tanak. It means we go to Sardinia and he's not going to be first on the road. So pretty much, you know, the perfect result for Tanak, a win, but it also means that he'll have decent road position for Sardinia as well.
Yeah, of course, he did that of his own making, didn't he? Coming across the line on the power stage, slammed on the brakes just before, then got going again. He said at the end of stage two, I just had to warm the brakes for the road section, which is quite amusing. But yeah, interesting strategy there. We kind of saw there was talk about this kind of thing at the end of last season going into the final rally, wasn't there? And Ogier always said, oh, I'll always take the points because that's definite something. You never know, you might go to Italy now and it might be damp and it might actually play sort of into Ogier's favour. So a bit of a gamble from Tanak, but you would think it would work out because obviously he won here from second on the road. It means that he now goes into Italy with a chance of winning whatever the conditions, and that's really good carrying that momentum therefore into the break.
Yeah, definitely. He's looking pretty good for Sardinia. I would say that I think it'd be really nice to see him just push on after that. You know, I don't think he needs to play the numbers game. Like, Ogier definitely does, because perhaps he doesn't have the fastest package. But with Tanak, he has such a quick car. I think his best tactic in this championship is just to win as many rallies as possible and race into a lead, which, you know, no matter what Ogier and Neuville do in terms of tactics, you know, they just can't catch him. I think that's maybe the best way to go. But yeah, we'll have to see how it goes.
Neuville was in second, bounced back from obviously that horrible crash in Chile. Important confidence rebuild. And to be honest, Chile didn't look like it affected him at all. I think that this was a fantastically strong rally for him.
Yeah, another strong one. I mean, his wingmen, you know, Loeb and Sordo had a miserable rally pretty much right from the start. So it left Neuville a little bit on his own. But, you know, he was right up there taking the fight to Tanak and Ogier, you know, beat Ogier over the course of this rally. Really, really good to see. Yeah, Neuville having another fine rally. And yeah, like you say, a perfect way to bounce back from Chile.
I think it was the first time that I'd seen him kind of matching Tanak in terms of pace mm-hmm. in normal conditions. In the end, Tanak just a little bit too much for him on Sunday, but throughout Saturday that gap was pretty much the same. In fact, I think Neuville probably brought it down a little bit for the end of Friday. So really strong performance from him. And in the end, his main battle really was with Chris Meek, and Meek obviously span on the penultimate stage and then should have taken third on the final stage, but he retired and gave Ogier that final podium position. We will now touch on Chris Meek. We've been saying he just needs to get a podium finish, and he was so close to it this time, and in the end, he let it go.
Yeah, I mean, easily his best rally so far, was on course for second place. As you said, spun on the penultimate stage. And when he spun, went down to third, you would think that maybe he'd just take it easy on the power stage, bring home, you know, that podium. But unfortunately, it all unraveled for him and he lost a whole heap of points, you know, walks away with nothing, which is, you know, incredibly disappointing for Meek and Tota, especially, as you said, because it just gives more points to his rivals. And yeah, pretty miserable stuff from Meek. I mean, we saw what happened here last year, you know, that got him sacked. I mean, obviously this won't get him sacked, but it's certainly doing him no favours. You know, he really needed that podium. And it should have come, but James, it just didn't happen, did it?
Yeah, and it was 200 metres from the start of the final stage. Tommy Macklin said he was probably a little bit mentally disturbed by what happened in the previous stage, and that obviously was the case. I think it just been too aggressive, wasn't it? Kind of really sideways, attacking the corner too much, hitting a tree stump on the inside. A really silly error, to be honest. But
a very Chris Meek error, you know. Yeah. But we haven't really seen this year, you know, too much. It, very much like the old Chris Meek, which is a shame. So let's see how he bounces back in Sardinia. You know, is this going to carry on? Or is he going to be able to finally get that podium?
I'm pretty sure he's going to do it. He's got it now, hasn't he? This was a good rally outside of that. So, yeah, we will see. Ogier then ended up third. And he had a very strong first day. Opening the road was kind of up there with Neuville. We didn't have the best of Fridays. But didn't really kick on from there. The rally kind of went backwards. And sort of down to the pace of the car, but also some very clever tactics from Hyundai. As you said, Loeb and Sordo, fuel pressure problems on the opening day. It was on stage three. So then on Saturday, they checked in to the opening stage late. They obviously were due to open the road. They checked in late between Ogier and Neuville. So Neuville had a two-car advantage row position, which was very clever from Hyundai. And I think that derailed Ogier's chances of fighting for second place.
Yeah, I mean, some fantastic mind games going on, I think, between, you know, Hyundai and Ogier. Toto seemingly sort of keeping, but, you know, it's definitely between those two. There seems to be quite a lot of mind games going on. You know, Ogier accusing Hyundai of some sort of dirty tactics. And, you know, it's a very, very difficult one, isn't it? I mean, how did you sort of read it with what Hyundai was going? You know, was it kind of fair? Or is there any truth to Ogier's comments? You know, did they take it a little bit too far?
Yeah, so obviously that was the positioning of the road was clever, but they were saying on Sunday of stopping Sordo on stage. So starting the stage, stopping, then slotting in between Neuville and Meek when Meek was in second place. So then Meek had a little bit of dust and Neuville had absolutely no dust at all. For me, that's unacceptable. That's just not in the right spirit at all, and Sordo refused to do that. But the big question is, is that actually true, or was that just something that was maybe floated around? That's where it comes in. I'm not sure. I wouldn't like to think that Hyundai were going to do that.
Yeah, I would hope so too. I mean, either way, we were saying just before we recorded, but it doesn't really matter if it's not true, because it sort of destabilised Hyundai a little bit, put people on their backs, you know, they'd be scrutinising them, I think, for the following rounds, and maybe won't be able to use those sort of tactics. So yeah, we hope it's not true. But we'll have to see. Yeah, we should move on, I think, to fourth place, which was Timo Sunnanen. And I guess a decent rally for M Sport, you know, fourth and fifth for them. They were sort of up there, sort of in it, but never really sort of in podium contention.
Well, they were very unlucky again on Friday. Sunnanen was third, fighting for second, then his brakes went, which was very unlucky for him. And Evans had that weird kind of pedal problem where he had to pull over, put in a loose wire and got going again about 4 minutes later. So having had those problems, I think they were very happy to get fourth and fifth. But it would have been interesting. I don't think they would have been able to take the fight to Ogier and Neuville when their road position got better on day two. But it was encouraging, and I think in the end, kind of a mixed thoughts on their rally, but good points for them, and that's what they kind of need at the moment. Sunnanen had that terrible start to the season, and now he's sixth in the championship. He's got 44 points in the last, 43 of his 44 points in the last four events. So things looking a lot better for him, and Evans kind of continue on that consistency of getting good top five finishes. So overall, I think they'll be happy, but a little bit of disappointment there, I reckon, for those guys.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Meek's issue, you know, Evans is now sort of that best of the rest. But I think more than anything, what we've seen this weekend, you know, once again, it's just that class, you know, at the top. Those three are just so good. You know, Ogier, Tanaka, and Neuville are clearly right now the class of the field. And, you know, they've won all the rallies so far and they've got most of the podium so far. It's really difficult for those other guys to string it together across the entire rally. We've seen that, you know, Evans, Meek, Sunnanen, you know, Latvala, Mikkelsen, they can all sort of take it to them in various stages. But across the rally, we're still yet to see any of them win a rally this season. So we'll have to see if that changes. But yeah, let's talk about Latvala as well. Mentioned him, you know, a disappointing one for him because, you know, he was right up there, wasn't he, in the podium fight. He was right there with his teammate. He was ahead of Meek and not too far off Tanak and looking like a good result. But then it all went wrong for him.
Yeah, he had the broken damper, didn't he? And then had to miss a stage, the last one. So ended up being able to take seventh with all the other retirements towards the end, but that could have been a really good result for him, couldn't he? He should have been in that kind of battle for second when Meek had his problems. He should have benefited from that, but yeah, it's got to come. Latvala is kind of the same as Meek. When is a rally actually going to come together for him? I really don't know. This is very reminiscent of what happened last season, and it's not been all his fault, but you've got to say that there's a little bit of blame going on here for him. He has been unlucky, but he has to have got a better result together by this point in the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he'll be hoping for, like you said, a similar thing to last year, where he had an incredible second half of the year, and that's really got to start in Sardinia, or at the very latest in Finland, of course, which we know he's very good at. And yeah, it's the same with Meek. I guess it's just going to, you know, which one out of those two is going to get the podium first?
It's crazy to think, isn't it? Tanak is so dominant, and they haven't even been on the podium. And at the moment, that's helping Hyundai stay at the top of the championship. If Toyota had put together their rally and had a 1-2 like they should have, they were 1-2-3 at one point, they would be leading the constructors. But it's kind of going a bit wrong for them.
That's quite bizarre as well, isn't it? Because, you know, we saw Loeb and Sordo crashing out, and they're still sort of in the lead of the championship, and they've had so many issues, Neville's teammates this year, and yet they're still leading the championship. So I think it's a full credit really to Neville and the great job he's done.
And we'll mention Lappi as well, because he's another one who just can't put together a rally. Looks better, much better this rally. It was unfortunate with a puncture on Friday, but then on Sunday rolled the car and then crashed it after that as well, so in the end no points for him. I suppose that at least he did put in a good day, but that's not really what we expect from him when at Toyota, who's way more consistent.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels kind of, you know, unnecessary as well. It was so late on. He wasn't really in much of a fight. He could have just brought it home and taken a solid, you know, finish. So yeah, it's unfortunate to see. And if we're talking about people under pressure, I mean, he's really got to be. He's the, you know, the lowest full-time driver at the moment in the championship. So yeah, I think a big improvement needed from Lappi. No doubt, silly season is all going to be kicking off. Usually, it can even happen just over the winter break. Things could be decided even before Finland. So, yeah, I think a strong performance definitely needed from Lappi.
And we'll talk about one more man who was in a WRC car this weekend, and that was Gus Greensmith, who had a very mixed weekend, as it turned out. A fantastic opening day, some really good stage times on certain stages. I think it was kind of one or two stages where he thought, I'm going to have a go here, and then other ones he was a bit more cautious. And then was strong throughout Saturday until the very last stage where he ran off the road. So had to restart then under Rally 2 and lost any chances. I mean, he could have been fifth, actually, with all the drama. And then restarted on Sunday and then retired on the very final stage on the Pfaff jump, couple of hundred meters from the finish, with a very odd one. His steering arm was broken going over the jump, so he went over the jump and then just went into the bank on the right. So bit of an odd one. I don't know how he picked up that damage, whether that was a mistake of his, but yeah, a mixed weekend, but there's positives to take for him, isn't there?
I would say so. I was quite impressed. He was decently close, wasn't he, to Evans and Sunderland's, you know, stage times. Like you say, he could tell sort of when he was pushing, when he was sort of trying to see how he could compare. And other stages, you know, clearly a lot more laid back and trying to get to the finish. You know, I think it was fairly sort of conservative drive. But then, like you said, there was that one incident which ended it all. I think really unfortunate. He definitely deserves some points. And when he comes back for his second outing, which is it Sardinia? I'm not sure. But when he comes back, it would be really nice to see if he can get that finish. Definitely deserved it. And I think also shows how just, you know, strong his WRC2 rivals could be if they were put in the, you know, WRC car. Because, you know, Greensmith, not the fastest in that category, but showed very well in this category.
Yeah, and at the moment he doesn't actually have anything lined up for a second appearance. He is going to Italy, but that's back in the WRC2 Pro again. Mm-hmm. I think what he's done in this rally warrants another chance, definitely before the end of the year. It's just where he goes, because it's a hard trade-off, isn't it? He's still in with a chance of winning the WRC2 Pro Championship if things go his way. So you don't want to take out a strong rally from that season, but also you want to be doing a good rally for your WRC appearances. So I don't know, but I definitely think what he's done warrants another chance.
Yeah, GB would probably make the most sense, I'd say, but we'll have to see.
And we'll get on to WRC2 Pro now. The new Skoda was out in full force, and straight away a 1-2 finish there. Cali Rovanperä easing to victory, really had a puncture on Friday, but still won by over a minute from teammate Jan Kopecky. And Mads Osberg showed fairly good pace, but had a really odd problem where basically all of his tyres were puncturing. He had five punctures on the opening day or something ridiculous like that, and that put an end to his chances.
Yeah, I mean, woeful luck, wasn't it, for him? I mean, we also saw an incident for Jan Kopecky, didn't we, with his bonnet up and him driving a stage and I think losing, you know, pretty much no time. So really impressive job for him. Great to see him back. And I think Rovanperä seems to be getting a bit of momentum going as well. You know, this is good to see. He had a difficult start to the season, but the thing is with Pro, if you basically can do pretty much all the rounds like Rovanperä has been doing, you can make an awful lot of progress, you know, fairly quickly. So really good stuff to see from Rovanperä. You know, that's two wins on the bounce now, so he's getting a good bit of momentum going, and it's looking pretty good for the championship.
Yeah, he's definitely turned a corner, and mm-hmm. it's very hard to bet against him now. The car came in, was faultless, so no worries about the new car being any kind of dramas on that. I think it's now Rovanperä to lose. He's just got to keep the level that he's been going at. In standard WRC2, Pierre-Louis Loubet took the victory, ninth overall, which was pretty impressive. But there was a lot of other contenders who had problems, weren't there? Ollie Christian Veyby, another fire from a VW Polo ending his rally. Crazy.
Yeah, I think there's a big controversy over this. It was sort of bubbling over the weekend. You know, another fire, well, for him and for the, one of the local drivers as well, Pedro Morales, maybe. Yeah, he had a fire as well. And this has been happening quite a lot. There's been, I think, five fires recently in Polo. So it's really not good. I feel like they're all going to be recalled after this event. I think there's going to be a lot of court proceedings as well, because it was homologated and it was said it was safe. But clearly there was a major fault. Because it's not as if there's a little issues. It's not as if tyres are puncturing. It's a full-blown fire, which is sometimes writing off these cars. It's obviously a massive safety risk. So I would not be surprised if they were all pulled from competition for now. VW have a massive job to do, because at the moment it's you know, completely changing the complexity of the championship, isn't it? Because Veyby was incredibly quick. But now, you know, he's got another retirement through no fault of his own.
Yeah, and it was Camley, wasn't it, who had the fire in Corsica. Uh-huh. So it's, you can't say it's anything to do with a certain team or how they're dealing with the car. No, it is a car problem, as you say, that they've got to recall them, surely. And that could bring all the VW cars to kind of a standstill in this WRC2 yes. Championship, which would be a really, really weird one. But just so surprising. This is a team that won four championships in 4 years in the WRC, and now they can't seem to make a car that doesn't set itself on fire, which is just really, really odd.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the car was quick, wasn't it? It had really good pace, and it could have been, you know, that one of their drivers could be leading the championship right now. They sort of took the fight to Skoda on pace, and it would have been interesting to see how it compared to the new Skoda. I mean, if you look at the stage times before it caught fire, they were pretty much neck and neck, so that was good to see. The Skoda definitely a match for that VW. So yeah, hopefully it's back soon, because we need someone to take the fight to Skoda, and so far VW have been best. But yeah, good job from Loubet as well. I mean, I don't think he's ever got a podium in WRC2, and he goes and wins the thing. So yeah, good for him, and Emil Bergqvist as well in second place in class. So good to see, you know, the junior WRC champion took a step back last year, seems to be paying off this year with another strong result.
And Henning Solberg was third, wasn't he, in class?
Yes.
Which is good to see. Takamoto Katsuta was another guy who had problems. But his pace was really good, which is nice to see, because we never really saw much pace from him outside of Sweden last year. But he's had a couple of events in a row now where he's been quite quick, which is good to see. But not quite able to put the full rally together. But that class is looking very interesting, and that VW dynamic is going to be an interesting one over the next couple of rounds, I think, because something definitely needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll see an awful lot about that. I mean, should we talk about our R5 points?
Oh, we've yes.
So we've done an adjusted R5 point. So we've put everyone together. We've ignored Pro and the regular series. We've given half points to the sort of non-European rounds, which don't get as many entries, to make it a bit fairer. And what we've come up with is Robin Perez in the lead of the championship on 37, and just 1 point behind him, it's Mads Osberg, and then Veiby just 1 point behind him. So basically, this picture gives Robin Perez, Osberg, Veiby as the top three. And James, I mean, the order isn't too different, really, but it sort of shows who's sort of been doing a really good season in the R5s.
I think it does show it a little bit more accurately, and I do think that what you've come up with of this point system has worked a lot better than real life. So I think it reflects it pretty accurately. Yeah, I think those guys would be the people who you'd say are going to be pushing on in their careers. And they've obviously been showing that so far this season with those results. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on how our little R5 standings have been going, because I know that the WRC2 Pro system just doesn't really work, does it? Because Osberg, again, I know we've had plenty of examples of this, but Osberg got 15 points when he had so many punctures, missed a stage, and was about 20 minutes back in the end. But he got 15 points. So, yeah. But anyway, we won't dwell on that too much, because we've now got our new system. So we've solved the R5 crisis. Anyway, that is all from Portugal. And Italy is up next, the final round before the big long summer break. So going to be an interesting one. And who will be leading going into Finland? I guess we're going to find out very, very soon. Thank you very much for listening today, and goodbye.